In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, I bring you greetings from Camp Bratton Green and Grace Center, where I've been spending the last week. As many of you know, I'm the co-director of the Middler 1 camp session, which is 5th and 6th graders. And so I spent the last week out in the woods with 75 5th and 6th graders and high school staff and college-age permanent staff and adult volunteers, and it was glorious. It was wonderful. We had our theme this year of The Prince's Bride. This is a movie, if you're not familiar with it. And the tagline for the movie is, they lived happily ever after, but the courtship nearly killed them. And it's a fantasy story. There's swords and giants and pirates and all manner of things, and it was a great deal of fun for the kids. And the main principle, the main theme of the story, as a book originally, is seeking love, true love. That true love will triumph over all adversity. And then we explain that true love is love of God. And that's what triumphs. That love triumphs over the world. That God's love is greater than anything that can stand before us, even giants and swordsmen and all manner of things. That love will win out. This is kind of what Paul is trying to say to the Romans here. The book of Romans is the longest of Paul's letters. It's the most intricate. It's the most dense. And picking out small parts to it is not easy. He spends chapters developing ideas and themes and then swings back around to them and picks them up and adds subtle nuances. And you really need to read the whole thing in one sitting, but that would make for a very long church service. We have this bit today. And what he's doing, he's writing to Rome because he wants to go to Rome. Most of the epistles in the New Testament are Paul writing to churches that he founded, or at least had visited. Rome is different. He's never been there. He doesn't really know the people there. It's not like Galatia. When he writes to the Galatians, he talks about you foolish Galatians. He loves them so much, but he sees them going off track, and it comes through in the letter. Or when he writes to the church at Philippi, you can tell he loves the people of Philippi, the Philippians. It just comes through in his writing. But Romans is different. He doesn't know them. It's a bit more technical. It's a bit more nuanced. And so he's writing to them, and this is a church that's composed of Jewish people who are following Christ and of Gentiles who have skipped right over to following Christ. And so they have different backgrounds, different attitudes, and different parts of Romans are addressed to the two different groups. And it goes back and forth. What he's trying to do in chapter 6 here, and 5 before it and 7 after it, is talk about the relationship of grace and law. And this is a big deal. The foundation of Judaism is following the law. The Pharisees made their whole career out of studying the law and then trying to get the people to follow it, to more than follow it, to not even get close to breaking it. That was part of the problem Jesus had with the Pharisees. They were too much about the rules. But Paul is trying to explain the law is good. I mean, Paul describes himself as a Pharisee among Pharisees. He knows the law. He loves the law. And he's not advocating for getting rid of the law. The law was given by God. But then so was Christ. And grace is given by God. And what do we do with these two things? And so he talks about, yes, grace supersedes the law. But does that mean you can just do whatever you want? Can we sin? By no means, he says. There's still expectations. When we get together with the staff and then later with the campers at camp, we have to go over the rules. There are certain rules you have to have at camp. Always wear shoes, pick up your trash, things like that. It gets a little officious, I suppose. I hate starting session telling you don't do this and make sure you do that. So we try to phrase it in terms of expectations. Here's what we expect to have here at camp. Here's the relationship we expect to have. Here's the community we're trying to build. And that's what Paul is going for here. It's more about expectations of how we live our lives as followers of Christ. I grew up in a tradition that really emphasized the thou shalt not aspects of Christianity. And it seemed at times like there were just a lot of rules you had to follow. But Paul is saying you're freed from the burden of rules. Instead, live by the principle of grace. And that doesn't mean anything goes. It's even a higher standard than the law. I mean, our Lord Christ talked about this in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, just because you get to the end of the day and you haven't killed somebody, it doesn't mean you're a good person. You have to love people. It takes more than just following the law. It takes living the grace. And that's what Paul is trying to get across to the Romans and to us, that we live by grace, that we're not here figuring out each little detail and if-then statements and looking for loopholes. Instead, we live by love, true love, as we were pointing out to the kids this week. It says in 1 John that God is love. That's not the same thing that love is God. Those are two completely different ideas. But God is love. When you say, I love you to your spouse or to your children or to your parents or to whomever, that is love that comes from God. We know love because God is love. His very essence and being is grounded in love. And we are grounded in God. God is the root of our being. And we live into that when we love. There's no small reason that Christ said the greatest commandment was to love God, and the second is likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. So the law is not thrown out, it's not canceled, it's fulfilled in Christ. All that the law is trying to do, to bring people closer to God and closer to each other, culminates in Jesus Christ. So we get to skip over that part and get to the good part, the living in love with each other, the building up of each other, the surrounding of each other with support. That's why we have church. That's why we have the body of Christ. This world is fallen. It's imperfect. It's steeped in darkness. And yet light shines through Jesus Christ and through us. Christ can shine light into a dark world. In a little bit, we're going to bring forward all these bags and put them up on the altar. These are things this church is doing to help the very least of these, the children in our community who have nothing. They've even been taken away from their families. And we're trying to give them a little something, both physically and spiritually, to let them know that no matter what is going on in their lives, they are loved by strangers, people they may never meet, but they are loved. That's what we do. That's what it means to be a follower of Christ, to love unreservedly, to love all, love our enemies, love our friends, love our neighbors as ourselves, and love God. That's what we do. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.